Hey y'all, and welcome to episode 3 of Serendipity at the Numbers. I'm King Edio here with my two co-hosts, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Hey y'all, this is Simone the Water Bear.
Hey, what's up? This is Sorcerer from Serendipity.
This episode, we have a special guest here with us. Local upcoming artist and close friend of the show, Blaze. We talk about his preparations in releasing music, his upbringing when it comes to music and sports, and at the end of the episode, we have a little fun conversation about the upcoming Phase 4 of Marvel.
Stay tuned till the end to get our social medias and info about playlists featuring the artists talked about in this episode. Hope y'all enjoy.
Today, we got something very special. I said it in the first episode that we would have this person on the show with us. He is a friend. He is a musician. He is a king and a winner. why don't you tell the audience who you are?
Thank you. I'm Ryan Blaze. I'm very happy to be here. I'm super geeked right now to be, not geeked as in the sense, you know what I'm saying, but I'm very happy to be here.
Y'all know what's up. So, for those of you who may or may not have listened to the first episode, we talked about how Ryan was actually my college roommate. We met in college. We met Taya there. And since that time, we started a music group called Serendipity. Everyone in the room right now is kind of like, this is the main group of Serendipity right now. Like,
yes, sir.
Everyone is here. This is really cool, actually.
It really is, bro. Yeah, I'm tripping out right now.
How are you feeling, bro? You get to see the space and like everything that we've been working with. How does it feel?
Man, this is kind of crazy, to be honest. Like, because I knew you guys were starting this whole thing with numbers, but I didn't really know what kind of scale it was going to be on. And this is something I really didn't expect. So, like, I'm super proud of you guys. Like, this is something crazy. Y'all did a great job.
Thank you, bro. Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right. We ready to break into it? This is going to be, you're a first interviewee. So, this is really hype. So, to open up, because we are a music group, I wanted to ask you, before we get into like how Serendipity all got started from your point of view, what is your background in music? Like, how do you connect? What is all of that for you?
Well, like, I mean, of course you guys know my story, but to give the listeners a little bit of a background, my dad, Rupert Blaze, he was actually a musician. He wasn't born in the U.S. He was born in Antigua and Barbuda, which is off the coast of Florida, kind of like by Jamaica, and he sings calypso music, and he's been doing it like ever since I was born, like way back then. And he used to do a lot of performances when I was young, and I would watch him, and I was just captivated by like his voice and just his ability to stay on pitch and like raise his voice up and down, but just making sure that everything sounds so clean. And just as I grew up, I wanted to get more intricate with the instrument. So I wanted to play the drums. I wanted to sing around, but at the same time, like, I didn't carry the confidence that he has. So it was always hard for me, but he's a big part of why, like, I'm so drawn to music.
Mm-hmm. I know you've talked about this with me. You were recording music before we actually got into college.
Yeah, I was actually.
what was that sounding like? What was that like? What's the story behind that?
See, I got to shout out my guy Donovan on this one, man, from Pacific Middle School in Vancouver. Donovan Babby, man. And like 6th, 7th grade, I've known Donovan since I think elementary school. We used to play football together, flag football. And one day, this was kind of towards like the SoundCloud era of music. Mm-hmm. And we were like, you know what? I feel like we could do something just for fun. Like, I don't even remember how old we were, 13 probably. And we recorded in his mom's work office off of a Rock Band mic. Yeesh. Connected to a laptop. Yeesh. And what we would do is we would take like beats off of YouTube and then put it into like the YouTube MP3 and then put it into like software and stuff like that. And then we would just record over it. And we put it on SoundCloud. And it was funny because, like, everybody in the school heard it, bro. By, like, the first week, had, like, 300 listens. And we're tripping. Now we're like, whoa, whoa. But, yeah, like, that was really the first experience with music. And we had music videos and everything, bro. Oh. It was interesting.
Where?
You said, bro, they've been wiped off the face of the earth, bro. I think Donovan has them. He might have made them public again, but like they were on YouTube. I'd have to text him and he'd send them to me. But like, yeah, bro, it was something serious. That's crazy. I was serious, bro.
Yeah, no, we gotta see these videos. I have to.
Yeah, I'll tap in with Guy and see what's up.
So you were also into sports growing up.
Very much so.
I would love to hear that and to hear that broken down, because I know that's a really big part of like just your coming up and all that.
Right, right. So, you know, like, I mean, sports and music is pretty intricate, especially hip hop these days. But to get more into the sports aspect of it, I was always that kid like playing with some kind of, it didn't matter if it was a basketball, a football, a soccer ball, anything of the sorts. If I touched it, like, I was going to be great at it. And so, excuse me, a majority of my life, it was just like my mom really wanted me to be active, just outside of the house doing whatever. And sports really like kind of carved me out as a person, gave me a lot of different personality traits that I don't think I'd have today, taught me a lot of lessons that I don't think I would have learned today. A lot about respect and just like camaraderie and teamwork, which I've been able to get with y'all. And it's a big part of me, my leadership and stuff like that. But sports has just always been part of my life. Like, I still love it to this day. I thought I'd still be playing sports by this time. I plan on going to college for it, but you know, life has its own path. But yeah, man, sports is just, it's always going to be a big part of my life. But you know, time changes and things change.
What sports specifically did you grow up playing?
My first sport was basketball. Like, that's always going to be my first love, that basketball. Real. I lost my first tooth playing basketball on that little Fisher-Price mini hoop. Yeah.
No, not the Fisher.
Yeah, I'm talking about the Fisher-Price. Yeah, I had it in the garage. It was filled up with sand right in front of my mom's Honda CR-V. It was like 8 o'clock at night and I'm dribbling around in the garage. You know, I had just watched Space Jam. That's like my favorite movie. I'm dribbling, I'm balling. You know what I'm saying? And I go up to dunk and my front tooth, this is probably why I had a gap in my teeth for so long, but my tooth got caught on the neck and I yanked it out. And I was like, whoa. And so I run inside and I show my mom and she starts tripping. So I start tripping. I'm right. Super young at this point. But yeah, like that, it's a very fond memory. So basketball is always going to be connected with me.
Real. Absolutely. Gotcha. Absolutely. And then later you fell into football, right?
Yeah, it was kind of like, I say around fourth grade, I started playing flag football. And in fifth grade, my mom finally like let me play contact. You know, I'm her only son. She's going to baby me. She's not trying to see me get hurt or anything like that. But football is more, I'd say shaped my character more than basketball did, because it was my main sport once I got to like middle school. I was just football, football, football. And I just had this knack for throwing it, bro. Like, ever since I was young, I was just chucking that thing a mile. And so I started playing quarterback, and that gave me a lot of leadership qualities. And I was dealing with a whole bunch of different people from all ages, talking to coaches, scouts, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, like, football just kind of gave me this identity. Mm-hmm. That, like, to this day, I can't really shake. People still see me as, like, this football player, especially from where I, like, just home, my hometown of Vancouver. Well, not hometown, but where I grew up, because that's what everyone knows me for is football. They don't know anything about my music or anything like that. So football just gave me a chance to kind of let out some, you know, emotions. You know, I get to hit some people. But, yeah, shout out to football, though.
When it comes to, like, sports, because you talked about, like, playing multiple sports for like since you was a kid, like how do you think that translates to like doing music, like when you're in the booth or when you're like active getting ready to record?
That's a pretty good question, because like, I mean, everybody knows every athlete, they listen to music before the game, like that's how they pregame. And it's kind of like the way I treat music now is when I step into the booth, whatever beat is made, whether it's made by Ado or not, it's kind of like that's my pregame. I let the beat kind of build me up, and then that's what gets me ready to go. Like, every time I hear a beat, it just takes a few minutes, and then I know what I want to say.
Because you're quick.
I try. But
the beat be on, and, like, man's is in the booth in 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. It be like that sometimes. The beat kind of does something to me. But, yeah, it's just kind of – and also, like, a perseverance thing, because y'all know I be getting kind of upset when I can't catch the cadence or I just can't get the bar right. Mm-hmm, but right. At the same time, at the end of the day, it's just persevering and then making sure it sounds good. But also, y'all know I'm a perfectionist. And that also comes from sports. I need everybody to be in their spots, ready to go doing what they're supposed to do. But now it's just all on me. So,
right.
Yeah.
Damn. That's a really intense way to look at it. Because, like, while we are a team, like, in a sense, when it comes to the performance that you're putting in, mm-hmm. that's on you. So exactly. how is that shift from like kind of having like not every decision made is on you mm-hmm. to now having it be like your bars or your like the way you come on a track is like kind of what affects it?
Well, it's like I look at it this way, because like I play quarterback. I look at life a lot just like I look at being a quarterback. It's like y'all do y'all part, whether it's a verse, whether it's making the beat, mixer, mastering, whatever. Mm-hmm. But I'm always going to have my part. But I have to make sure that you did your job correctly. That's why I'm always listening, making sure that everything sounds cool. But at the same time, like I said, like at the end of the day, like I'm making that final decision. I'm the one making the throw. I'm the one putting the bar down on the beat. Mm-hmm. And like I have to make sure that it's the best that it is every time out. So mm-hmm. that's just kind of how I look at it.
Okay. To cut into the next part. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the group on your behalf, because right. we've all gotten a chance to talk about it as individuals. But as being like the fourth member of this group.
Right.
What is your point of view? Like, what is serendipity to you? What do you think about like the early days to like where we're at now? Like,
right,
just break
right.
into it.
Well, it's like I was really thinking about this question when I was driving over here, because it's like it's just crazy to see how much we progress from just an idea. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So like when we were at PSU, I remember like Taya was always carrying around that notebook. Always had this dang notebook. And then one day I walk in the room, I probably came back from the gym or something, and y'all two are just smiling. And I'm like, what's going on here? And like, we've been recording for a little bit, but there was no like no title to it, no meaning to it. We was just doing it for fun. And then y'all were like serendipity. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, what's serendipity? I've never heard that word in my life. And then you guys had explained it to me, and I'm like, okay, that's a dope concept, but like why? And then we're like, that's gonna be us, like that's gonna be the group. And I'm like, yo, that's different. That's something I wanted to be a part of. And like, so we're recording, doing whatever, and then like obviously I end up leaving PSU, and to be honest, I was like, I'm not going to do that stuff no more. Like, I'm probably not going to see these guys no more. And then it just, but like the connection that we had created just on campus and stuff like that, it was just unbreakable. And so I had to keep pursuing it. And like, you guys had helped me, you encouraged me. And then David had got involved when I finally met David, and I'm like, yeah, like this group could really be something. And so now today, the fact that like you guys had transitioned to, you know, working at a dang gas station to now we in here with these nice mics and all this, and we doing a show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, that's so crazy to me. And it's just really cool to see how just the effort that we've put in, that y'all have put in, into just one simple idea, one word really, and turned it into something that like could possibly be like even bigger than this. So
not possibly, it will be.
It will be. It will be.
That's
so,
that's 100.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So yeah, this is something real special to me. I know it's special to you guys as well. But yeah, I hold you guys real close to my heart, because this is definitely gonna be something special.
So asking you now, in general, who are you rocking with right now? What are you listening to? What do you like music wise?
Well, really, just over the past year, like this pandemic, has been a real southern driven, like musically just southern driven taste for me. It's been a lot of Memphis, you know, me and my Key Glock and my Young Dolph and all that. But and obviously you guys know this as well, but recently just that man Fujiano has just been, that's just been my guy as of late. There's something about him, just the quickness, like his tone of voice is very sharp on the beat. And it's just everything he says, like you might not be able to understand everything. He's a little bit of a mumble rapper, but like, I don't know. He's every bar just hits with every bass hit. Just, everything just sounds so crazy right now. But to like take it away from rap a little bit, like I listen to, I don't know, like I always keep it, I keep it classic when it comes to the old stuff. I'm like Rihanna, I'm like Neo, I'm like stuff like that. So I'm not really into the new scene when it's in terms of R&B and soul, but that's always going to be in my rotation.
I did not know you listened to Rihanna like that.
Yeah,
listen,
man.
You better say it, because Auntie Auntie is forever in my rotation.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay, wait, this is kind of, I'm going to veer off real quick, but we've all listened to Auntie by Rihanna, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Favorite song off the album? Go. Whoever wants to go first.
That's tough.
That is a tough question.
Because it rotates. It's like...
Okay. James Joint is one of my favorite songs, like, ever.
That's it.
That song hit. That's for you, too?
Yes.
Okay, okay.
That, yeah.
James Joint is up there. I think I'm going to say... Yeah, I said it because I was listening to it like a few days ago.
For sure.
Just like that vibe. But like it rotates.
Real.
You know, James Joint, that's the one.
I think I would probably say that as well. I don't know a lot of the tracks just like off the top of my head. I've listened to it like maybe like 3 or 4 times, but I like that one a lot.
There's another song that I want to give love to. Tay, I was talking to you about it. It is the one that I said is better than Love on the Brain and should have been on the radio.
Oh, Kiss It Better?
Yes. Kiss It Better, bro.
Hey, I was about to say, you better sing it.
You better sing it. Let me not, bro.
Nah, that joint.
It definitely hits different. Rihanna, if you're listening.
If you're listening.
Come on the show, please, Rihanna.
Please come on the show. We'd be blessed to have you.
Yes.
Just send me a snippet, you know, just like a piece, bro. It's been 5 years, my G.
It has been 5 years. It's lacking a little bit.
It has been a minute.
Retirement is calling.
I mean, hey, she rich though.
She's in her bag.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she got the big bag. Retirement is already set. You know,
right?
I guess since we're still on the topic of music, how have you feel like you've grown, like musically?
Really my like musical growth has really just come with my musical confidence because, just over time I have little spurts of confidence where I feel like I can sing, but I'm that kind of guy, like you only gonna catch me singing in the shower around the house when I know nobody's in the crib. So it's kind of like over time I've just learned to enjoy it more and not really care about what people are saying about it or what they think about it in general, and kind of just like let me do me. So for the past, I'd say since I got into college with Ado, I've been at like my peak of like musical performance, and obviously it's still getting better, but like just this group in general has really instilled this confidence in me that just allows me to be like, all right, when the beat's on, like let's go, and there's no more timidness. English. Anyway, you know what I'm trying
to
say.
We got it.
You know what I'm saying? But like no hesitation, none of that. Like I'm just ready to go. So yeah, I feel like just over time, it's really just been a confidence thing.
Do you think, we're going to get a little bit bold here. Do you think that you're going to be the biggest artist out of Vancouver?
See, man, you can't go out here saying stuff like that.
Why not?
Man, because listen, Vancouver is a weird place, bro. Whenever somebody says Vancouver, you are not thinking about Washington. You are thinking about Canada. So in terms of Vancouver, like it's a, I'm going to call it a melting pot because it's just like a more suburb version of Portland.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not all the buildings that y'all got over here. It's just a bunch of roads and a bunch of businesses, but there's still quite a few people. And so especially out of the high school that I went to, Evergreen, like the diversity is like through the roof. Like we got everybody in there. And so, you know, there's going to be them kids who want to be rappers or so say, but everybody knows that that's not a reality for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
But just in terms of like Vancouver, when I say that it's weird, like everybody want to be a rapper, but everybody like sounds the same. And they all just are jocking off of other people's styles. Like right now, like every time I hear like a teenager drive past me in Vancouver, they bumping some like Bay music every single time. They're bumping Mozzie or whatever, something like that. And then they try to translate that to their own music. And that's just like, that's not your style. Like just find your own style. And that's a big problem. But there's a couple people still that that do make music out of Vancouver that I do have some respect for. Like my girl Jemiah, she just dropped a couple singles over the past few months. Don't Fight It is one of them, and she's been a friend of mine for a little while now. I met her in high school, and she's got a really really nice voice, beautiful singing voice, great person, and all that. But it's like I said, like it's Vancouver, nobody knows about us, so it's very very hard to get your music out there,
right,
and to get it heard. And so that's why everybody's migrating over here to the Portland area, because like this is where it's popping. So. Yeah. Yeah, man.
Real. Definitely not to Rose Portland, but to Rose kind of popping. Yeah. We got bigger names, but
Trust me, bro. Vancouver is very minuscule compared to y'all.
on some underground. Okay, very real. So would you say, like, so you said that, like, with your style now and how you go about things, how would you say, like, who are your top influencers right now?
Well, in terms of, like, flow and stuff like that, I've always been a big Roddy Ricch guy because mm-hmm. I like to get melodic sometimes. Mm-hmm. And, like, he just, the way that he uses his voice but also keeps, like, that rapping tempo mm-hmm. is really, really special to me. And Kanye as well, like, old Kanye. Everybody know he's tripping out a little bit right now. But just that old Kanye, that grittiness that he had, just every beat, like, just the 808s were just bumping. But he just made sure that his message got across, whether it be subliminal or not. Like, everything just had a grit to it. And he kind of rapped with this chip on his shoulder. And not to say that I rap with a chip on my shoulder, because not everybody, like, nobody knows who I am in terms of music, mm-hmm. but just, like, I feel like it's that competitiveness thing, mm-hmm. like being, wanting to be a leader, wanting to make sure that I'm putting my best out there. And so, like, that kind of reflects in my style. Like, I'm multiple takes, like, pretty much all the time, because I want it to sound right. Mm-hmm. And, like, when I do rap, it can be melodic. I'll do my singing, but at the same time, like, I can also come at your neck, like, mm-hmm. very hard on a beat. And so, and in terms of that, honestly, I take a lot from, like, Kevin Gates. Not a lot of people listen to Kevin Gates, like, a lot, but he's one mm-hmm. of those people, it's just an aggressive style of rap. And, like, he's not, like, he's yelling at the mic, but it's like, put some, like, bass in your chest type of stuff. Yeah. And, like, that's how I want to come across, because that's kind of who I am as a person as well, just letting myself be known. So that's a big part of it.
Shout out to Kevin Gates, and thank you for putting me on to Kevin Gates. Like, I actually think, Solstra, you hit me while we was at the dorms about Kevin Gates' new album. Now I remember being like, I ain't gonna listen to this. And then Blaze was like, nah, it's hard.
It's hard, bro.
It was good.
And that, lo and behold, what's the name of the album?
I'm Him.
Yeah, I Am Him.
Yeah, that
it's a great album.
That's a great album.
Uncle Brazzy, I'm going to speak for him. You know what it is.
Right. I like hearing you talk about the way that different artists influence your sound and then comparing that to the stuff that you primarily listen to. Mm-hmm. Like, you talk about listening to Key Glock more and Young Dolph, but take more of a Roddy Ricch inspiration into your own music. It's just interesting to me.
Yeah, it's just because of, like, in terms of my style or what I think my style is, I don't really resonate with, like, the Key Glocks. Like, he's that kind of person. Like, I feel like every song that he comes on is just a hard hitter. Like, there's no soft side to it. In terms of Roddy Ricch, it's more like he still has that little gangster walk to him, but at the same time, there's, like, this intricacy and, like, this softness to him as well. Mm-hmm. And songs like, I don't know, like War Baby, for example, mm-hmm. off his most recent album. Like, that's a great song. Like, just him including the choir in the background, like, mm-hmm. that's something that I really, really messed with. So that's why he's more of a musical inspiration for me, like, as an artist, than Key Glock or a Young Dolph. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What was the experience like for you? Did you gain any level of inspiration, or just in general, like, in seeing Roddy Ricch live?
Yeah, to be honest, because a lot of the artists that I've seen live, like the auto-tune or just like the playback of the song in the background kind of just carries the concert. Mm-hmm. And I felt like Roddy did a really good job using his natural voice mm-hmm. while still letting, like, the playback do its job. Like, he rapped the parts that he was supposed to rap live. Mm-hmm. And that kind of took me aback just to think about, like, what if that was me on the stage? Like, how should I be coming at this audience to make sure, like, that they stay engaged? And he kept me engaged the whole time. Like, yeah, I'm a big fan. I'm going to be biased. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's just, like, he was riding the energy of the crowd, and he was rapping his lyrics, bro. He didn't miss a beat. And so, yeah, that was really inspiring for sure. Mm-hmm.
All right. To break into our final segment. So this is our new media section, and I'm particularly excited about what's going on right now. So mm-hmm. before we break into it, I want to ask everyone in the room, what is your relationship to Marvel, Marvel Comics, Marvel movies? What is your relationship there? What do y'all think? What do y'all know? Mm-hmm. anyone is open to start?
Honestly, I feel like we talked about it a little bit before we left. Like, I'm not a super, super, like, Marvel fan. Like, I'm not crazy. Like, I'm not, like, every release I need to see it.
Right.
But it's like, I am aware when a Marvel movie is dropping. And I would definitely like to get more into it, because I think living with y'all, and especially you, Ado, you're very much so into Marvel, DC.
Heavy.
It's really interesting to see, like, the content they put out. And it's like, correct me if I'm wrong. Is Invincible Marvel, or is that?
Invincible is a third company.
Okay,
I would also love to do an Invincible talk if we have time.
That's another show. That's another episode. But, you know, it's kind of the same genre, but it's very intriguing, to say the least, and I definitely want to get more into it.
Yeah.
I think I share pretty similar thoughts as to that. Like, Marvel for me has always been like, go with some friends to the movie theater, catch the movie.
Right.
I didn't really get too into the comics as a kid. I probably had a few here and there. It's always been like really interesting to me, but I wouldn't say I'm necessarily a fan of it, more just positive consumer of
it. Got you. In terms of my relationship with Marvel, I feel like me and Ado might be a little bit more similar in this facet. Right. But like, I was that kid who, like, every Sunday morning when the paper would come, like, there was this Spider-Man comic that would always come with it. And I had, like, 50 of them joints. Like, just in my room. I was always reading those comics. And, like, that's kind of where my love for it was, like, rooted at. But, yeah, like, I'm the one, like, yeah, that four-hour movie dropped. Yeah, I was in the theaters all four of them hours. I ain't go to the bathroom not one time. So, yeah, you can say, like, I do love me some Marvel. I've been hooked since, like, that first Iron Man with that jank suit that he had.
Right.
But, yeah, and then, like, with the... I'm really proud of Marvel. I don't know how I can say proud, like, that's a Fortune 500 company, but the fact that they were able to, like, the direction, this is probably like the next topic, but like the direction that they took Black Panther, and just kind of like the situation that we were in as a country, and how that kind of, it really gave the Black community something to hold on to, like something positive. Like, we haven't been given many, like, superheroes. Like, you know, when you were young, you got your little Static Shock or whatever, but you say Static Shock to somebody nowadays, and they're like, what are you talking about? Who is that? And I'm like, you're sorry.
White people don't know who Static Shock is.
They really don't know who Static Shock is. But, like, you know, we didn't have that figure to hold on to. And, you know, R.I.P. Chadwick Boseman, but he really gave like the youth and really just the community in general something positive to look forward to, or just like a message to stand behind. And Marvel did a great job, like, just going down that road. But yeah, Marvel is always going to be a big part of my life for sure.
Right. I definitely, 100%. I've seen every movie at least like 3 times.
Facts.
I have recently finished WandaVision and like Falcon and Winter Soldier. Like, I'm up to date on Marvel. And like, I know we're probably gonna talk about Black Panther pretty heavily, because like, I'm hyped to see like the Phase 4 info and all that.
Right.
But like, definitely, I think Marvel, for one, to make like the fact that we can all sit in this room and say that we've seen a Black Panther movie, like, 8-year-old Ado never thought that was gonna happen.
Never.
Like, this is, if like, was like my favorite superhero as a kid, and like, no one knew who he was. Like, I would tell like my sisters, be like, what y'all know about the Black Panther? And they'd be like, what? Who? You talking about the group? And I was like, no, like the superhero. And it's like, now to have that be, to have that be what it was. And like, it's crazy that we lost Chadwick. Like,
yeah, man.
That was terrible.
Wow.
To see that happen. Cause like, to be the face of such a big, like, Black and like powerful, like, to be the Black Panther.
Icon, bro.
Icon. An icon in a matter of like a year.
Yeah, if even.
If even. So it's like, I'm like devastated that he passed, but I trust the director and I trust the team that they're going to continue the legacy well. Before we get to Black Panther, because that's a little bit later in the list of movies, I have the list of all the shows and movies, and I think it would be really fun to kind of, I think I know exactly what's going to happen in all of these. So I have no issue reading off the shows, reading off like what kind of the show is about mm-hmm. and seeing what y'all think about that concept.
Yeah, yeah. I rock with that.
Okay. So, Loki, the TV show, will follow Loki from the Endgame movie traveling through time. This is a Loki that survived.
Yeah.
Traveling through time and space, fighting evil people with like this cool like space group or whatever. What do y'all think?
Hey, man. I feel like Loki is one of those characters. Like, I don't know how much you guys know about Loki, but it's just like, I feel like Loki is one of those characters who doesn't really need a backstory. Mm-hmm. I feel like we've been given enough about like his upbringing, like who he is as a, like in the Marvel universe. So mm-hmm. like to give him kind of just his own little show. You said, what was he working with? A space group?
I forgot the name of the group. This is really bad nerd aid though right now, but
it don't even matter. Just know that I'm cool off of that. Real. I'll probably peep it a little bit, but I'm not a big low key guy.
Real.
I think for me personally, where I'm not a big fan of Marvel stuff, I would like to be more involved with it going forward. And I think that's probably something I would check out just to have more of a conversational ability with this stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot to base it on. I know the general premise of Loki. I've seen a few of the Thor movies, mm-hmm. but I don't think it's really a big turnoff for me, but it's definitely not a character that I specifically want to see. That's one that I've been like waiting to see content from.
Real.
Right. Yeah, I'm actually like, unfamiliar with the actual character Loki.
Real.
I don't know, maybe if I saw a picture, but I would be interested to like watch.
Real. Yeah, I think it will either be there or like it could be cool, but
if Adol comes to me and is like, yo, you have to see this Loki, I'm gonna sit down in the living room, yes. and be like, yeah. I'm gonna give it a chance,
because he might, if he,
I'll let you know might. If it's good. Because I've definitely, like, Disney plus Marvel has not been terrible. No, so, like, I'm definitely down to see what they're going to do with it. Because they've been very successful thus far.
Right.
Next movie, Black Widow. Black Widow goes to Russia to figure out her roots and meet some cool people and does some spy stuff.
Yes, sir.
That sounds super cool.
Yes. I really hope this movie goes well, just because I know a lot of people didn't like Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
So I feel like with Marvel and their like female superheroes, I feel like already they've had such a good start with WandaVision in the new era. I think it'll be really good if they have like a movie led by a female about like just like her story, mm-hmm. not attached to anyone else.
I agree. Because I feel like Black Widow is one of those characters that people have kind of been like yearning for her backstory, because throughout all the movies, like, nobody really knows like who she is. I don't know why you laugh right now. You know this vocabulary goes dumb. You know this vocabulary goes stupid, Ado. But as this man laughs,
you're telling me these little kids yearning for the
Hey, bro, they don't know what that means yet, but you know that's what's happening, bro. They're begging for this backstory, dog. It's, you know. But like, anyway, like, I feel like you're right. Like, a movie that's led by one of the most independent female characters in the Marvel universe. Cause yeah, you're right. When, Captain Marvel dropped, they were kind of like, yeah. like, I don't know. I feel like they didn't really receive it too well. Cause right. It was kind of out of left field. They were like, why this movie now?
Right.
But, yeah, I feel like Black Widow is going to be a really good movie. I had no idea that she was incorporated with like the Russians and all that. Yeah. But yeah, that should be a real interesting movie.
The Russians go hard.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shout out Russia. Okay. next, Marvel What If is a show on Disney Plus that's going to take place in what if scenarios during the Marvel Universe. One of the ones that I'm excited for is, what if T'Challa was picked up by the aliens instead of Peter Quill and went into space as Peter Quill? So Black Panther as Star-Lord.
Okay.
Yo.
I don't know enough about like that specifically, like the character names, yeah. but the concept of like what if scenarios, I love that.
Yes.
That's really cool. I like that they could go back and like anything that they messed up on that they would want to change.
Yeah.
Or nah, that is fire.
Anything else they just want to further explore, like if there's any cliffhangers or plot holes. Like, I like that idea. I'm hot.
I'm just excited for Black Panther in space. In
general. Yeah.
And this is supposed to be Chadwick Boseman's like last performance in anything.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's interesting. That's so what's crazy. Up, though.
We will see. I'm hyped for What If. Or any opinions?
Nah, I'm going to be there. I'm going to see it. That sounds Black Panther in space.
Next is Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. This trailer just dropped recently. From what we can understand, the movie is going to be about this character, Shang-Chi. This will be the first like mainstream Marvel character who's Asian. His pops is the Mandarin, is the owner of these Ten Rings, and he wants his son, who is Shang-Chi, to follow in his footsteps. And Shang-Chi is like, nah. And the movie seems to be like a really dope, like they're going for like a really dope kung fu style. Social, I know you mess with a good kung fu movie.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this one could be cool.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say, I haven't even heard about that one, to be honest. I'd have to check the trailer out, but the concept seems pretty cool because, yeah, you're right. Like, no one's really incorporated like a kung fu style into a quote unquote superhero movie.
Right.
Like, I know Batman intricated a little bit of karate stuff with, you know, that one movie, but Marvel hasn't really been like that. Because when you said that, I was thinking, what's that other Doctor Strange? That's what I was thinking. Yeah. Just like, that's what it wrong. But yeah, no, I'll check that out for sure.
Real.
Yeah, that sounds crazy.
Yeah, definitely.
I would watch all of that.
Right.
That is my corner. Yes, please.
Yeah. I'm in.
Right.
I'm there for it.
I'm interested to see how they expand on the character and
Agreed.
Like the actual like concept. Because yeah, like I'm unfamiliar with the actual like, movie or anything like that. But yeah, if they can execute it, I think. It'd be dope.
And this character is going to be like brand new to the universe
as
well.
Exactly.
So like this is like them introducing. This is going to be like the first time we're all seeing Shang-Chi.
Ooh, I wonder what the like wardrobes is looking like.
Bro, this trailer looks crazy. I'm going to have to show y'all after the episode.
All okay.
Right, bet.
Next, The Eternals. This one we don't know a lot about. I'm interested to see how it goes because practically they're trying to go with like these are like the gods of the Marvel universe. These are the people who are like kind of like your gods and stuff, and their memory was wiped and they're in like they're amongst humans, but they don't know who they are. So it's them figuring out their past and their history and seeing like what that all means and figuring that out.
That sounds crazy.
Okay. I hadn't known like what the name of like those beings in the universe were, but so they're among people in the universe?
Yeah. They're like, from what I know, I don't know a crazy amount about the Eternals, but from what I'm understanding, like these are like some of the most powerful beings in like the whole Marvel universe entirely. We're talking like these are the people who are chilling with Thanos back in the day being like, we're as strong as you. Like we can face you. But they have lost their memories and they're amongst the people. And like they're figuring out their history or refiguring out their powers and stuff like that.
Oh, so like, yeah. So there's like gods walking amongst people, but they just don't know that they're gods. Well, they did, but yeah, I got you. Yeah, that's interesting.
This is like a new, brand new like thing that they're bringing up.
This was in the comics.
Okay.
But I didn't know a lot about the Eternals. I've seen like, I haven't been able to read comics as much recently. So I've seen a couple of videos from like the popular comic like YouTube channels, but it's like, still very unclear on like, because there's like, this is like a whole new ensemble cast. Like this is like a group. This is a group movie.
Okay.
So like this is gonna be like really interesting to see how they go about it. They have a lot of Game of Thrones actors in this one. Angelina Jolie is in the movie.
Oh wow.
That's a bag.
That's what I was about to say. Like that's what?
Right.
They dropped some cash.
They put down some money. And
that contract go crazy.
Right.
What?
And like the person, Kevin Feige, who's in charge of like all the Marvel movies is saying, like he wants this to be like kind of like what, he wants this to be like the next like Guardians of the Galaxy type blow up.
Okay.
Okay, so, yeah, like, no.
He wants this to be like really popular cool. and cool.
That's fire.
So, okay.
That's amazing.
I definitely appreciate that because I feel like a lot of genres of media don't do a great job of explaining like the initial backstory of like the creation of the universe. So for that to be like a big focus movie, I'm really excited for that.
I'm hyped. I also might get roasted in the comments by people who know more than me about the Eternals. So I'm sorry if I messed that up, that description up of the movie. But
we gonna learn.
We gonna learn. Right. We gonna learn. This is another one I'm really excited for. Spider-Man 3, No Way Home. This movie So they're like, they've released a lot about this movie. Mm-hmm. So pretty much what they're making it sound like is that this movie is going to be a universe hopping movie. Tobey Maguire, the original Spider-Man, is going to be in it. Andrew Garfield, the other Spider-Man, is going to be in it. They keep saying that they're not going to be in it, but they're going to be in it.
Definitely going to be in it.
Some of the villains from the older Spider-Man movies are going to be there. They're saying that they're bringing back the Daredevil from the Daredevil Netflix TV show.
Oh, yeah.
The cast is going to be crazy. It sounds like it's going to be universe hopping. Yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's so cool.
We're going to get three Spider-Mans in one movie, possibly more. Seeing as like they, if we're gonna get those three, I don't see why they wouldn't try their hand at like possibly a Miles connection.
Yeah, or, like, definitely
different characters. So I'm for it.
Real, yeah, that's really cool.
That sounds dope. Or I could be completely wrong, and it's all just speculation. But
nah, I think you're right. I feel like that's gonna be a great movie.
Agreed.
Because you know, Spider-Man has always kind of been like the forefront of the Marvel series, like, right. Everybody knows who the Amazing Spider-Man is, but then again, like, Spider-Man's kind of been the movie that I feel like they've experimented the most with. I feel like he's the one who's right. always dealing with everybody,
right?
It's not just Spider-Man, like, mm-hmm. in the other movies where it might just be Thor, it might just yeah. be Iron Man, and stuff like that. Spider-Man's always dealing with somebody else
right.
in the Marvel Universe, and that's obviously going to show in this next film. So, yeah, I'm that's hyped. Dope. I'm definitely hyped.
Yeah, I think that movie's going to be crazy. These next few are kind of all going to be bangers. Doctor Strange, The Multiverse of Madness. This will be another universe-hopping movie. I think it's also going to connect to the Spider-Man movie. The understanding of this is that the multiverse is messed up, probably because of Scarlet Witch, who's also going to be in the movie. And they're going to be fighting amongst different universes, breaking into the multiverse of the Marvel Universe, seeing different universes, different versions of characters that we love. Yeah, I think this is also going to be crazy. I just like crazy concepts in movies. I love multiverse stories. I think this might be dope.
That's really cool. I like the direction that they're taking things, where like, you don't really have to be a diehard Marvel fan, but if you are, there's a lot of good content there for you, and mm-hmm. like seeing characters that you wouldn't really know who they are mm-hmm. if not for that. That's cool.
I also like that it's very, like, the approach seems very non-linear.
Yeah.
And that they're going to be able to like take characters from different, like mm-hmm. different movies and things like that. Like the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, that was the first Spider-Man I ever seen. Right. It's like, that's the OG one.
Facts.
Love the new Spider-Man too. Crazy. Mm-hmm. Well, it's just like the fact that they can do that and like implement all these different characters, or even take these characters from like comic books that people are not very aware of mm-hmm. and like do movies is just crazy.
I also think with this, two things with the Doctor Strange movie. It's going to be directed by the same person who did the original Spider-Man movies with Tobey Maguire.
Okay.
And it's going to be a horror movie.
Whoa, wait, what?
Really?
Yes. Yes.
I'm in.
They're trying to make it like a horror movie.
That's it. That's dope. That's dope.
And the OG director of Spider-Man, like, he did Evil Dead and all that. So, like.
Okay.
Whoa.
That's fire.
Yeah, I love that.
Definitely popping out to see that.
This is going to be hard. Black Panther, Wakanda Forever.
Yeah.
Okay. Here is what we know, because we don't know a lot. They're not recasting our Black Panther. What's his face? Killmonger's coming back.
Yeah, Michael B. Jordan.
Michael B. Jordan's coming back. They want to expand on Wakanda and what Wakanda is, and like more of that. We don't know who's going to be the next Black Panther, because I think just based off of like their history, they're like doing new generations of characters, such as with the Hawkeye and like Ms. Marvel and stuff like that. So, any theories, any ideas, any thoughts?
I was just about to bring up, I have a couple theories in terms of like what I think this movie might entail. And mm-hmm. so like everybody knows that Michael B. Jordan is on the cast again.
Right.
And like, that man is just taking over the mm-hmm. entertainment industry. Like, everybody knows who he is, from Black Panther to Creed to that new movie he was just in.
Right.
And it's like, he did a great job as Killmonger.
Agreed.
Just being that, you know, that villain face of the movie. But at the same time, like, just with the popular demand, I feel one route that might be taken that I feel like a lot of people don't want to see be taken is him being, like, reincarnated as the new Black Panther, kind of like how they brought back Black Panther back to life in the first movie after he had died. I feel like that might be a scene in the movie. But I also had a theory that would implement even more, like, bringing in his sister as the Black Panther, because then that gives you another a black female figure for people to hold on to, because that's really what Black Panther is about, is just that strong, independent, like, Black community. And so I feel like that might be a smart route to take, but it also could lead to, like, a really, really interesting storyline just based off of how she was in the first movie. And, like, I don't know how much you've seen of the Falcon series of Marvel, but the Bucky. I feel like Bucky might be a good part of this movie with how he was.
I would enjoy to see him.
Yeah, because he, I don't know. It was kind of weird seeing him in Wakanda, just kind of how they took care of him and kind of how they changed him as a person. I feel like he'd be a good implementation into the movie.
They turned him technically, so in the comics, there's a character known as the White Wolf, which is what they call this character, Bucky the Winter Soldier, in Wakanda. And, like, he's pretty, like, significant. So, like, he has ties to Wakanda no matter what. So, yeah, I agree. I think it's either going to be Shuri or Killmonger, or they're going to figure out a way to do both.
Yeah.
And I think it'll be interesting no matter what. Any thoughts from anyone else? No.
Yeah, I don't really have too much to say other than just, like, I'm going to be there for it. You already know. Like, the Black community is going to
show up.
They're making a Blade movie.
I heard about that. I heard about that.
With Mahershala Ali as Blade. David, do you know what Blade is? Okay, so Blade is a Marvel character who is, like, half vampire, half human. Who is, like, known for just going around the Marvel Universe killing vampires. And then in the 2000s, they made a Blade movie with Wesley Snipes. And that was, like, one of the first, like, most popular Marvel movies ever. It was a trilogy. And it's been on the back burner for a while. And they finally have announced that we're getting a Blade movie. And I'm hyped.
So hyped.
Cool. That sounds really cool.
That is amazing.
I would encourage you to go back and watch the Blade movies.
Yeah, they're very fun.
If you haven't already. Because, yeah, they're that's a great movie. Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back. Because I remember, like, watching it, like, just, like, as a kid and just, like, seeing, like, all the crazy, like, action scenes and things. Like, I have to go back.
Yeah, no, I'm in 100%. Next, I think they're doing an Iron Man Armored Wars. Or Armor Wars. It's just called Armor Wars. But it's going to be led by War Machine this time through. Marvel is really, really putting a lot of Black people in the position.
But to go off of, like, the... I've seen more, like, Black people as main characters in these superhero movies. Because I don't know if you guys have seen, but, like, Superman.
Superman's going to be played by Michael B.
This is a different era. Wild, bro.
This is different.
Superman of all people, like, Superman has not changed for years and years. Like, that is Clark Kent. That is that white collar businessman.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that stuff like that usually doesn't change, but it really goes to show how much, like, the past few years has really influenced, like, media culture.
Black people put money in those seats, bro.
Yeah.
Big time.
And everything.
They're definitely, yeah. Because, okay, the way it's looking now, Superman's Black. Captain America is Black. Captain America is Captain Marvel is pending. Iron Man is for sure going to be Black. There's two candidates.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah,
Iron Man is guaranteed to be Black.
I'm ready for these white people to be pissed off.
They're going
to
be angry.
Sorry, boo.
Angry.
It's like then the backup Miss Marvel. This is a new era. There's a good chance that if they run out of content for Spider-Man. Miles Morales, there we go.
He should already be
I agree.
Part of the main content of that storyline. But, you know, that's just me, though.
But it's like, we are in an era where it's like, bro, like, there's a lot of superheroes, like, who were once white who are no longer white.
Like you said, I think it's definitely because they figured out, like, when Black Panther came out, like, I mean, like...
That's a bag.
people have been tapping into like the black market cap for years, but like Marvel really figured out like, oh, like when it's about us, like when it's representing us, like we show up.
We go.
Like,
yeah.
And shoot, our money is powerful.
I feel like David hit on the head earlier. Like, I feel like Marvel, excuse me, is transitioning into a place where like all the newcomers, I feel like, have something to connect with. Right. Like, if you haven't been a Marvel fan now, like the diversity and the representation of all the races now is going to give Marvel a brand new audience, man. Like a whole bunch of new people coming to the theaters to see these movies. And I feel like that's really the wave now. I feel like a lot of different companies are going to be steering towards that. Like it's a revolution for real. So yeah, interesting to see.
I think it'll be interesting. And in the long run, because I thought a lot about this. I'm still kind of like not 100% sure how I feel about Captain America yet. Because like that's a whole thing. But like in the long run, like if I was like 10 and I saw that Superman was black, come on.
That's what I'm trying to say.
If I saw that like Iron Man was like black now, like the fact that like these characters that for this long have been like these white faced people are now like these are some of the biggest names right now.
Yeah, bro.
Like literally the fact that Superman is black now is like that's monumental.
Right.
That's never been done.
Do we know the actor at all?
Michael B. Jordan.
Who did you think it was going to be? Like that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, dog is taking over. He's taking over. And but the thing that I love about Michael B. Jordan, though, is that he's really putting on for the people. Like, he knows the deed that he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And he's using his platform to really, like, express who he is. And, like, he's all about the good cause, man. Right. Like, I'm sure he's a great person. I'd love to meet him one day.
Agreed.
Like, that'd be what's up. But, yeah, that man is definitely taking over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. That's going to be crazy. But, yeah, that's pretty much the whole list of everything that we're getting.
That's fire.
I think it's going to be dope. I think post-Endgame, I like how they are really kind of just like, right now they're letting a lot of stuff breathe, but I feel like we are going to fall into an era of like really weird, crazy, interesting like ideas. I like the how diverse everything is.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of the characters that they're going to be introducing. Yeah, I'm for it.
100%.
And that's our show. You can follow my Spotify at ZGen4 to find a playlist that has new upcoming local artists that we update every week. We also have our playlist from last week, the XXL Predictions playlist, which features many of the artists talked about in this episode.
And y'all can find those same playlists on my Apple Music at Taya_Simone.
Thank you so much, Blaze, for coming on the show. You can follow him at Ryan_Blaze on Instagram. And he says new music is on the way, so stay tuned for that. You can follow me on Instagram at King_E.D.O. And you can email me at my numbers email, KingEDO@thenumberswithaZ.FM.
You can follow me on Instagram at Serendipity_Solsra. And you can hit my numbers email, Solsra@thenumbers.FM.
You guys can all hit me on Instagram at Taya_Simone. And you can email me at SimoneTheWaterBearer@thenumbers.FM. Numbers with a Z.
Lastly, you can find the numbers on all social medias at the numbers FM with a Z, and you can go to our website www.thenumbers.fm with a Z. Thank you so much, and we'll talk to y'all next week.